I have no desire to drag Chicago's underworld or the rest of the White Council into this ugly little affair. Mutually guaranteed safe passage, of course. We did that once, I said. And despite the fact that you betrayed the neutrality of the meeting well before I or any of my people took action, which I take as a highly promising act on your part, I am willing to extend my trust to you once more. I bit out a little laugh. Yeah, you're a saint. One day, Nicodemus said, one day. But for now, let's say a face-to-face meeting, a talk, just you and I. So you and your posse can jump me alone? No thanks. Come now. As you say, I do want to talk deal. If you're willing to extend your word of safe passage, we can even have it on your own ground. Oh? I asked. And where would that be? It doesn't matter to me. As long as I don't have to be seen with you while you're wearing that ridiculous borrowed ensemble. The hairs on the back of my neck started crawling up into my hairline. I turned my head around very slightly. The windows to the carpenter's backyard had blinds and curtains, but neither was wholly drawn. The kitchen light made the windows into mirrors. I couldn't see beyond them. What's it going to be, Dresden? Nicodemus asked. Will you give me your word of safe passage for our talk? Or shall I have my men open fire on that lovely young lady at the kitchen sink? I glanced over my shoulder to where Molly was drying dishes. She watched me out of the corner of her eye, clearly interested in the discussion but trying not to look like it. I couldn't possibly warn anyone before Nick's men could open fire, and I believed that he had them there, probably up in the treehouse. It had a reasonably good view of the kitchen. All right, I said, speaking so that everyone there could hear me. I'm giving you my word of safe passage for 10 minutes. And hope to die? Nicodemus prompted. I gritted my teeth. At the rate we're going, someone will. He laughed again. Keep the subject matter of this conversation between you and I, and it won't have to be anyone in the kitchen. The phone disconnected. A beat later, someone knocked at the front door. Mouse's growl rumbled through the whole house, even though he'd remained in the front room. Harry? Michael asked. I found my shoes and stuffed my bare feet into them. I'm going out to talk to him. Keep an eye on us, but don't do anything if he doesn't start it. And watch your back. The last chat with him was a distraction. I stood up, pulled on my duster, and picked up my staff. I met Michael's eyes and said, watch your back. Michael's head tilted slightly. Then he looked past me to the windows to the backyard. Be careful. I took my shield bracelet out of my duster pocket and fastened it on, wincing as it went over the mild burns on my wrist. You know me, Michael. I'm always careful. I walked to the front door and looked out the window. The lights on the street were all out, except for the streetlight in front of Michael's house. Nicodemus stood in the center of the street outside. His shadow stretched out long and dark to one side of him, the side opposite the one it should have been on, given the position of the light. Mouse came to my side and planted himself there firmly. I rested my hand on my dog's thick neck for a moment, searching the darkness outside for anything or anyone else. I saw nothing, which meant nothing, really. Anything could be out there in the dark. But the only thing I knew was out there was a scared little girl. Let's go, I said to Mouse, and stalked out into the snow.